Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show, CJAD 800.
Good morning. It's 9:05 and 3 degrees in downtown Montreal. My name is Kelly Alexander, and joined now by our on the Home Improvement Show with Walter Assey, president of Renovco. Good morning, Walter.
Good morning.
So we already have people already lining up, which is great. So we're going to get to the phones right away. But if you do have a question, we still have a couple of lines open. 514-790-0800 is the number to call. And if you'd like to text, please do so. 514-800. And we'd love if you'd put your first name in the text, and maybe even what town you are texting from. So let's head off to the lines right now. Leon is joining us, and Leon, you have a question about roofs, I believe.
Yeah, hi.
Go ahead, Leon.
Okay, so I've got to replace the asphalt shingles on my country house, and surprisingly, the shingles failed to the day after the expiry of the 25-year guarantee. So I'm wondering, is there any other material besides, let's say, the obvious one of metal roof? Is there anything like a continuous membrane that we can spray on, something that will not, like, fall apart?
You have a shingle roof right now, right?
A typical asphalt black shingle roof.
Yeah. So there are different qualities of shingles, right? You have 15, 25, and 50-year shingle. If you are looking for a more rugged shingle, you can always go with a 50-year shingle. They're all the new ones are all fiberglass-based, which is good news for you because they're supposed to resist the weather much better. So if it lasted you 25 years and it's 25-year shingle, chances are that the shingle you had was not fiberglass-based. It's probably either tar-based or something like that. So that's why as a matter of fact, you're kind of lucky that you have a 25-year shingle that lasts 25 years because there was a batch that BP did at one point that was not good, and it started to kind of break down within a couple of years, and there was a class action suit and what have you. So you're lucky you were not from that batch. Having said that,
okay,
the new ones that are in the market, especially if you go with Timberline or Cambridge, are extremely well made. And if you are to buy a 50-year shingle, providing you have no other underlying issues, and that's very important, they will last you.
If I can interrupt you, that's exactly what the issue is. I have like a roof which part of the eave extends past the end of the house, and that part is not heated. So what ends up happening is I have a big buildup of ice on the edge of the roof, and I think that that's what made the shingle sort of fall off on the edge of the roof. So my impression is that if I had a material that was not individual shingles held in by nails, such as like I saw recently galvanized steel panels.
Yeah.
And they come in different lengths. You can get them any length you want. What do you think of that as a solution?
So there are many solutions to this. Now, and I'm glad that you clarified this point, because that takes us a bit to a different conversation. So in a case like this, what you want to do is you want to install a transition piece between the two shingle systems, between the two roofing systems. And that's very doable. I don't like necessarily the one continuous piece, especially if the overhang is quite large, because from a curb appeal perspective, it will look very ugly. But what you could do, there's two options that you could do. You can transition from the shingle to the metal roof part to the other part, which is the extended soffit part, and make that part in metal. Okay. So the reason you want to do that is because the snow slides a lot easier on metal. That particular portion of the roof will all be ice shielded before you install the metal on top. So you don't have any risk of backing up with all the ice buildup. And it will have a good curb appeal to it. Now, the other option, which is even more interesting, but, you know, it's something you can look at. There is a new product out there, a newer product. I shouldn't say new, but it's been in market for about a couple of years now. And it's called Solution Sans Glace, okay? It's a company that does it. They brought the technology out of the States. You see it a lot in Stowe and these types of areas in the States that have similar temperature to ours. What it is, it's a heated metal roof. It's a metal roof that have wires in it that are heated. And you can either have them installed on a thermostat that as soon as the temperature approaches, let's say 2 degrees, they kick in and then they melt the roof. Or you can plug it in on demand if you wish to only do it in the days where you see the accumulation and get it to melt the snow. That becomes a decision for you to see how much snow accumulation there is. And when you're not using it, it looks like just a metal roof, right? So, and it's hidden. What I like about it is that the heated wires are hidden, so they're not ugly to the eye. And then at the same time, they don't get damaged, because the most, when we install heated wires, what damages the heated wires most of the time is, you know, the exposure to the sun, to the snow and the ice and all the friction that's caused by the wind and so on and so forth. So eventually they wear down. But because these wires are hidden inside the metal, they don't actually deteriorate. So that could be another option for you as well. These are your really two good options. Whatever you do, do not go with the tall idea, because it will look horrible. And because it's one continuous piece, you're going to see with the sun and with time, it's going to start to wrinkle. So it's going to have a very bad look to it when you see it from far.
Leon, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. 514-790-0800 is the number to call, and 514-800 by text. Let's move over to the text line right now from Nick. He's up in Moorin Heights, and he says that a lot of people are re-roofing with metal siding. What is the difference?
It's not metal siding. It's metal roof.
Metal roof, okay.
Metal roofs in general... there's a couple of things. Usually you want to do them in areas where they're worth more the investment in problematic roofs. So when you have a roof line that is accumulating a lot of, there's a lot of ice damming, or you have a lot of ice issues, a metal roof usually works better. The disadvantage of a metal roof is the cost. So you're paying a lot more. But it's a lifetime roof. Technically, that roof lasts for forever. They tell you 50 years. And it does, if it's well installed. So The idea with a metal roof, most people think it's the actual metal roof that is giving you the protection. The metal roof is protecting the membrane underneath it. Usually, you need it to be extremely well installed. So you have to have a good installer to install it. It have a nice curb appeal to it. And that's pretty much what it is. I mean, it's not. There's nothing else more than it. But if you have a regular roof with no underlying issues, like the gentleman just called, then you might not need that extra cost. Just go with a good quality shingle, a good quality eye shield membrane, and we'll have to talk about that at one point. Because there are eye shield membranes on the perimeters that are not that good. So when you put the nail through the shingle, it does not weld very nicely. So what happens is with time, you could get water damage through the membrane. That's why I also emphasize a good quality eye shield membrane.
You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on CJD, and Joanne, Mark, Ronnie on the phone. We're getting to you. If you have a call or have a question, I should say, for Walter Assey, president of Vernovco, 514-790-0800 by phone and 514-800 by text.
You might just need to tighten the thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
Good morning. Happy Saturday. Thank you for spending time with us. My name is Kelly Alexander, alongside Walter Assey, president of Vernovco. You can join Walter 514-790-0800 by phone and 514-800 by text. We're jumping off to Joanne right now in Chamonix. Joanne, thank you so much for waiting.
Thank you for taking my call. Walter, I've called you two times in the past concerning insulation in my attic.
Yeah.
And I've had contractors come and give me estimates. Mm-hmm. And I have, like, I don't know how to explain this, but they're like grills on either side of my attic. And some of them say that I should block them because of the pressure, and some say I should leave them open.
Okay. So what you're talking about is your soffits, not grills.
Well, no, it's not the soffits. It's like on either side of the house, there's
okay.
like...
I got it. Okay.
Okay.
So what you're talking about is two things, and that's a very good question, actually, and I'm glad you're asking it because it's a common mistake. So you have what you have now is unblocked soffits. Every house have soffits.
Yes.
So when the house was originally built, these soffits were blocked, and what they did instead is they put on either side of the house, usually the right and the left elevation,
yes. mm-hmm.
like a grill, like yes. you said. It's like it yes. looks like a register vent, but a big one. And that's how they used to ventilate the attic. So they do a cross ventilation that way.
Okay.
With time, they discovered that it's not as efficient. It helps, but it's not the most efficient way to ventilate attics. The code evolved with the new construction code, and now we say we need a 2-inch ridge, minimum 2-inch ridge, continuous around the ventilated areas or the areas where we want to ventilate our attic, undisturbed. That's the key question.
Okay.
Having said that, the way the ventilation works is you have the, if you look at your roof, you have those ventilation max vents that are on top.
Yes.
So the air intake is usually through the soffits or the grills. And these guys on top kind of sucks and circulate the air. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, technically, when you have these two grills unblocked and you have soffits, you're not helping that negative-positive pressure to occur in your attic. Okay? You have... So, the ventilation vents on the top do not work as well.
Okay?
Because now you have... if you want holes or protrusions from everywhere.
Right.
So,
okay.
It does not circulate the air as well. So the person that told you you need to block these registers, that's only provided we are 100% sure that your soffits are unblocked.
Well, I'm planning to remove all the insulation, and they did say that some of my soffits are blocked. Some are okay and some are blocked, okay. But I'm having everything gutted, if you want, and we're going to start from scratch.
Good. So if my soffits are if all my soffits are unblocked, then 100% you should block these vents with no questions asked.
Okay.
And what you could do if you don't want to invest in the siding afterwards, you could just simply block them from the inside, because once you remove the registers, you're gonna have a hole.
Yes.
So if you don't want to have to reinvest putting siding in that hole and what have you, what you could do is you could simply block it in from the inside.
Okay. One other question, if I may.
But sorry, I just want to put one, interject
oh,
two
I'm
seconds
sorry.
On this. So Joanne, the guy that says do not block it, that guy, don't hire him.
Okay. All right. And another contractor noticed that the wood... On the roof is like getting dark, and they suggested that we put a product. It's called, if I remember correctly, Ongon. They spray it, and apparently it takes off all the black on the wood. And he says this is prevention for mold. I don't have any mold, or you know, everything's okay. So,
let's just be very clear. You have a black stain on the plywood of the roof. That does not magically occur. Usually that black stain you're claiming is a stain, usually it's small. There's a way for you to know that, okay? You can have it swapped. We can do a swab test, and you put it in a liquid, and within few seconds, usually 30 seconds, you can know if it's actual mold or something else. But more often than not, if it's black stains or, you know, it's actual mold, right? Now, I don't like to particularly encapsulate mold. That's not really the way you want to get rid of mold. Mold should be taken out, vacuumed out. That's the proper way to take it to get rid of it. So, you know, to give you a quick answer, we would have to go a bit more in detail about what is it that you have and what's the underlying cause of it. Now, the fact that you've mentioned that you have some blocked soffits could be lack of ventilation. It could be condensation in your attic because you didn't have enough insulation. Most often than not, that's the cause. And the fact that you're going after the insulation now is good. The fact that you are taking out the old insulation is great because if you have that those black stains on the plywood everywhere, then chances are if it's mold, then the insulation have mold. So the fact that you're taking getting rid of that is good. But now that you have all of this out of the way, start looking about adequately decontaminating the plywood if that's the case.
Joanne, thank you so much for the call. 514-790-0800 by phone and 514-800 by text. We'd love for you to put your first name in the text. Walter, we have a text that's come in saying that it's Al from Roxborough, by the way. He says, I have a split-level home built in 1960 with a roof that is too shallow for shingles. He's received three quotes, one tar and gravel, two membrane and metal. And he chose the metal one because the price was a bit more than the membrane. But he wants to know if tar and gravel are an option.
On a slanted roofs, tar and gravel are not my favorite. Because typically a slanted roof does not have a parapet. It does not have a, I don't know how to call it in English.
Like an overhang?
It's a muré, like it's a small wall that kind of makes it all contained.
Okay.
So the issue with the tar and the gravel, and that's extremely important for us to know, is that the gravel is what protects the tar. Okay? So if the gravel flies around, then you have exposed area in the roof that will have no protection. So now the tar is looking at the sun, and that's the worst thing you could do for tar. The biggest enemy of tar is the sun. That's why we cover it with gravel. And that's where you have it dried up and then start cracking and then start leaking. Plus, because it's slanted and you really see it from the street, it's not really the best looking of roofs either. The best bet usually it would be an elastomeric membrane. I also like to go with a white membrane because it lasts a lot longer. The tar and gravel will work fine in an environment where it's surrounded by a containment that will prevent the gravel from flying around. And we are having big windstorms that are causing the gravel to fly.
You're listening to the Home Improvement Show with Walter Assey, president of Vernovco. You can join us. 514-790-0800 is the number to call, or 514-800 by text. Now it's time to head off to the CJD newsroom for a CTV News update with Don Kagan Fleming.
You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Good morning. My name is Kelly Alexander alongside Walter Assey, president of Vernovco, and so many people to get to on the lines, not to mention some text messages coming in. If you do want to call, 514-790-0800, and by text, it's 514-800. Walter, we actually had a text very early on in the show. I want to get to it from Michael. He says that he has to replace his baseboard register in a 40 square foot bathroom heated with a natural gas forced air heating system. The floor duct is 10 inches wide. The present baseboard register is 24 inches wide, but he wants to use a shorter 18-inch one if that is possible.
Electric baseboard?
Yeah, I believe so. That's what he said.
Well, I mean, in a 40 square feet, and it's already having a register in the floor, you're really using that only as auxiliary heat. So by all means.
Amazing.
By all means. It's just going to kick in very, very, very cold days. In most cases, you don't even need it, to be honest with you.
Okay, perfect. Michael, thank you very much for the text. Let's head off to Mark in St. Laurent. Mark, you have a question about a roof?
Yeah, well, it's the insulation. It's for a rental property. It's a 3.5-unit apartment, and the tenant has complained about, well, that it's cold. It was built in 1968. I believe the walls are made of 2x4s with brick exterior. So I was thinking of removing the gyprock and spray foaming that, and then I was also thinking about doing that to the ceiling, because there's only, I think it's a 2x4 or 2x3-inch insulation in there, the bat insulation. But I don't know if that's cost-effective to do the ceiling or in terms of savings.
The ceiling is, is that on the second floor? It's a duplex, right,
yeah.
You said?
It's a triplex. It's actually a sixplex, but it's the top floor, yeah.
Okay, so you're spray foaming the, and it's a flat roof, I presume, right?
Yeah, flat roof, yes.
Okay. Okay, so you're asking if it's cost-effective. What you're doing, in other words, you're stripping all the exterior walls, right?
The interior walls.
I mean, so
yeah, exactly.
Every wall that have a window in it, we call it an exterior wall, in the sense that there's insulation in it.
Yeah.
You're stripping all of that, and then you are stripping all the ceilings, and you're spray foaming them.
Spray foaming, and then the ceiling, I was going to put a suspended ceiling back because it's just easier, and then the walls, the gyprock, the walls are much easier to do because I don't have very many exterior walls, but the ceiling, obviously, it's the whole surface.
Okay. Do you know if
I pay for the heat. I pay for the heat, which is the thing.
Okay. So do you know if your ceiling, if your attic is insulated now? If your ceiling is insulated?
It has like a 3-inch bat in it from what I could see, but it's from 1968.
Does it have any vapor barrier?
Just a paper one.
Yeah. The paper one does not work. It's not really. I mean, they used to call it in the 60s a vapor barrier. That was their attempt to vapor barrier or something, but it was really a bad idea. So, as far as, you know, the fact that we can get a 3-inch in the ceiling is good because the urethane itself will start acting as a vapor barrier after we attain the 3-inch mark, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's, in my opinion, it's the most efficient type of insulation because it does not require the same depth. Usually the issue with bat insulation is twofold. Number one, it needs size, you cannot compress it, right? So you need the depth in the attic to get to the R50 level that is the code today. You're never going to be able to get that with bat insulation in an area where it's confined. You will get double as much with spray and insulation. And that's a good thing. So that's how, if you want to start with that, you're in the right track and choosing the right insulation. What I would be mindful of is when they do the spraying, make sure that they're really filling adequately the voids because sometimes they do miss. So let it dry and then inspect it before you close the walls and the ceilings. Sometimes in the applications, what they do is because they do it very fast, they leave. And then you see pockets that they forgot if the technician is not careful enough. So just make sure of that. The beautiful thing about it, if it gets condensation or gets wet, it does not lose the R value. Bat insulation does lose the R value. So even when you have condensation, just due to the fact that you don't have enough insulation, it actually loses the R value with time. So you're definitely on the right track with that. It's going to be costly, though, because you have drywall, you have demolition, you have plaster, you have mudding, you have taping, and then you have the urethane.
Mark, thank you very much for the call. 514-790-0800 by phone and 514-800 by text. Please put your first name in the text. We're going to jump over to Ronnie now in Laval. Ronnie, you have a question about your attic?
Yes. I've been living in this house. I purchased it in 1999, and I only recently found out when I had it evaluated that it had no insulation in the attic.
Wow.
there's been icicles hanging from the roof every winter, and I just didn't know why. So now I'm wondering, I haven't been up there or looked at it, and I noticed with your previous caller, they were saying mold and everything, so... And the reason I had called first of all was to find out if it was better to get like that fiberglass paint insulation or have somebody spray it.
Okay.
So now I'm worried about mold up there now.
Yeah. My main worry, I mean, that's very rare, to be quite frank with you, to have an attic that does not have mold. That does not have insulation in it. Mm-hmm. It's a bit alarming. So, yes, it's definitely a worry because what end up happening is you have the hot air from the house. It's going to start meeting the cold air in the attic, and that kind of cause condensation. So it's going to technically rain in your attic, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what's going to create the mold. So mm-hmm. before you do anything, you should have the attic inspected. Now, I'm going to give you a word of caution. You have a latch to get into the attic, right?
Yes.
Fine.
In the closet.
So whoever's going to be verifying your attic, okay, number one, they have to have the proper PPEs, the proper protective equipment. I'm talking about Tyvek and I'm talking about masks and gloves and goggles and everything else. Mm-hmm. And then they have to build a containment around that trap door. So what they do is they do a containment chamber. Preferably, if possible, to have a small HEPA filtration system in the zone as well. The reason I'm saying that is because, you know, there are cases, and I'm not saying it's your case, and hopefully you got lucky and that's not the case. There are cases where, you know, people opened that latch and there was a lot of mold in the attic due to the lack of insulation, and then the spores start spreading inside the house. And you really don't want that. So whoever is going to do that, please let them do it very carefully and to be extremely cautious because, you know, they could cause harm to themselves and or to your home. After that, you could start, you know, once inspecting the attic and, you know, it passes inspection, you can start thinking about the insulation. But before that, you need to think about decontaminating if you don't have, if you have mold in your attic. Having said that, the spray insulation is more required in cases where you have no space in your attic to do adequate bat insulation or blown insulation. The fiberglass is more cost efficient. Okay. Now, what some people do is they go with a 6-inch or 3-inch, I should say, urethane, and then they add bat to it or blown insulation to it. That's also a possibility. But in case where you have a healthy attic with good roof lines, you might be doing an overkill by doing urethane and paying the extra costs.
Ronnie, thank you so much for the call. 514-790-0800 by
Kelly,
phone.
One yes, very important yes. thing I want to say, because we have a lot of calls about yep. insulation and attics. A lot of it might be eligible to the Renault Climat, so they could get some money back by doing it. So
okay.
that's, you know, a good thing to look into as well.
If you'd like to join Walter, president of Renovco, here on the Home Improvement Show, 514-790-0800 by phone and 514-800 by text. We'd love for you to put your first name in the text and maybe even the town where you are texting in from.
This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Good morning. It's 9:50. My name is Kelly Alexander, and thank you for joining us on the Home Improvement Show with Walter Assey. It's 4 degrees right now in downtown Montreal. You still have time to join us, 514-790-0800 by phone and 514-800 by text. Walter, a text came in. This is I'm hoping an easy question. I'm sure it is for you. Tom in Laval, should we drain the hot water tank every year?
Not necessarily every year. It's all going to boil down to how hard your water is and if you have any... if you have any sediments in the water itself. So if you're in an area that you are on a well, chances are you're going to have issues and the water will start smelling if your original sacrificial rod in the tank is still there. So usually people have to replace that. Only in these cases. In other cases, you know, every couple of years is fine.
Okay. Donna in Vaudreuil, you have a question about your chimney?
Good morning. Well, since winter decided to come back this week with the winds that came along with it, it blew the cap off of what I think is my chimney for my furnace. It's a metal tubular structure. We used to have an oil furnace, and we switched to electric, but I'm thinking that that must still be connected to that furnace somehow, and I'm worried about the rain and the snow that came. I'm wondering if it may have damaged the furnace, and can I screw that cap back on, because I found it on the grass this morning.
So chances are, yes, you can. Is it the hat, the top hat?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, if it's not damaged and if the tubular duct is still intact, then 100%, it's not a problem at all.
Do you think it may have damaged my furnace with the rain and snow that came?
You have an electric furnace now, right? Is that what you said? Okay, so so that's not really connected to your furnace at all right now, and that's a good thing for you, because you don't want it to be connected. Just make sure that whatever that pipe leads to in the basement, you don't have any water damage in that area.
But it shouldn't be
a problem as far as...
That cap was just sitting on top of that tubular structure. Can I actually take screws and screw it in?
If you can and you want, just not to have the problem again, just cap it completely, because you don't need it. You don't need a furnace anymore.
Oh, Donna, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. 514-790-0800 by phone and 514-800 by text. Walter, we have a text from Cliff saying that he has a glass patio door and the bottom of the patio door is damaged, plus the wheels. And he's wondering if he can actually just replace the plastic frame because the glass is not damaged at all.
He can. It's not going to be cheap, and it's going to be manually assembled, which I don't like. I like more laser welding in these cases. So I would it's something that I would look more into replacing it altogether if possible.
Amazing. Thank you very much for the text, Cliff. And now we're going to head off to Richard in Anjou. Richard, you have a question about replacing a balcony?
Yes. Hi, Kelly and Walter. Thank you for taking my call. My children decided to buy a fixer-upper in the Mile End. It's a 114-year-old house, and we have to change the balconies in the front. And because it's a heritage, we have to keep the same decor and all that. So I have to replace it with a wood balcony. And I'm just wondering, what are some of the things I have to look out for the quotes? Do I need a membrane? And then how do I protect the wood, staining it and all that to keep it looking good for a long time?
Are you talking about the flooring or the railing now?
The flooring. The railing is a metal that I have to paint to this black.
And what makes
railing.
You think that they want wood flooring?
The flooring could be fiberglass,
mm-hmm.
but the box around it has to be covered in pine. It has to be pine wood.
Yeah, so that's exactly what I would go with if you are... Is it a rental?
Yes.
So because you want it to be maintenance free, I would go with a fiberglass flooring. And I would skirt it with the wood, simply because it's going to be maintenance-free. Problem with tenants is they're not going to take care of your balcony and, you know, apply a sealer on it and all of that. So that's going to be a losing battle right off the bat. So what I would do is, if you're going to go with the pine wood at the all around, the idea with wood is any type of wood could work if it's protected. And the way you protect the wood is with paint, okay? So you prime it, and I mean, there are many, many different products. One of the products that I really like for like wood protection is called Cabot. It's not a very well-known brand, but it's really good. And that's what I would paint it with, if you're going to go with the paint option. If you're going to go with the sealer option, where you have different types of oils, that you could apply, so you know the only difference is every time you need to reapply, it's a bit more work. As a matter of fact, no. If you go with oil, the issue is that you have to reapply every year.
Wow.
Yeah, so that becomes an issue when it comes to a balcony. So I don't know if whatever you have around it, you have paint. Is it painted the wood now or stained?
No, right now. aluminum. It's the flashing that we have there.
Okay.
But because we have to replace it, it has to follow the rules, the heritage.
The other question
I have is, these houses are supported by the beams that are going into the house. They're like 10 feet into the house, and some of them have to be replaced.
Mm.
So, you know, depending, like on the top floor, they look like they have to replace most of them, but on the second floor, we should be fine. Anything to look out for that when they replace those beams in there?
I mean, it's the best time to replace them now because you're replacing the whole structure of the balcony. So that's going to be a good time to do it. I mean, there's not much. You just need to have a very good framer doing the work because these are cantilevered beams. You might need to open the ceilings in those apartments, though.
Richard, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. Don't forget that you can listen to CJD all the time, just by making sure that you grab the iHeartRadio app. You can check out breaking news from CTV, up-to-the-minute traffic reports, of course, not to mention podcasts with Andrew Carter, The Big Five with Elias Makos, and, of course, Montreal Now with Aaron Rand. Walter, I can't believe it, but we've already run out of time.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Sorry for the callers. We couldn't get to everybody today, but
busy.
Hopefully next week.
But you will be back next week, that is for sure. So make sure you're back for the Home Improvement Show with Walter Assey next week at 9 o'clock. And coming up after the news, get ready because you'll have a great time on the car show with Lisa Christensen. My thanks to Jimmy G for pushing all the right buttons this morning. I appreciate you for listening. Don't forget that you can follow me on Instagram at Kelly Alexander. And yes, coming up at 9 o'clock, or 10 o'clock, I should say, it's your CTV News Update with Don Kagan Fleming. Have a great day.